Hey guys, welcome back to Big Mood.
Hi.
Today we have one of our most favorite returning guests. Actually, probably our favorite returning guest because you've been on more than anybody else, I think.
Stacey motherfucking Diaz.
Stacey Diaz.
Love her so much. We love her so much.
Hi guys.
Yes. I didn't get to be in the last couple episodes with you on it, so I'm excited personally. Like extra excited.
Thank you for inviting me back time and time again.
Yes.
I love
you
here.
The audience loves you. You have so much good stuff to say.
You just gel really well.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know how many people comment like, can you guys get Stacey Diaz back? Get Stacey back.
They're all me.
I love it.
I know it's just all Nikki.
Different accounts.
I'm like, guys, some weirdo.
Like, Nikki, you can just tell us. Like, we have meetings together.
I do.
You can let us know.
I'm like, did you see the audience?
Really wants One thing we love about Stacey, though, is she does a lot of self-work.
She's really
smart with like healing and everything. And so this episode today, I wanted to talk about codependency. And I know that you've been really good with talking about attachment styles and all kinds of relationship things and healthy relationships and trying to build healthy relationships.
Yeah.
So I definitely wanted to get into codependency today because I've been dealing with that now that I've been single for a year.
Gina,
thank you. Of course, we're going to describe it and define it.
Okay,
I'll get there, Gina.
Thank you.
Fucking hand down, Gina.
I feel like I understand things. Yeah. I feel left out right now.
We're just going to move along.
Yeah.
Gina, you're being really codependent right now.
You're exhibiting behavior. No, I'm just kidding. So, what I've realized though is that I previously had a lot of codependent habits. My last relationship, I don't think I had any codependent habits, but then now that I'm single dating again, some of them are cropping back up. So this is something that I have to go back and dig it out and work on this a lot more.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable now with saying without shame that I do have issues with codependency. And I feel like that's something that we should be allowed to say, because I think a lot of times people are afraid to admit that they might be codependent.
It's hard to admit, especially when we all see each other as like really strong, independent women and you pride yourself on that. But then when you look at your behaviors in your relationships, you're like, oh shit, like, yeah, I did that. Oh, I did that. Oh, fuck. I was codependent. Yeah. And then, I mean, in my relationship now, I haven't been, but in my previous ones, I definitely was. And also, I talked to my therapist because I guess, you know, codependent behavior, I would seek out narcissists. Like, it thrives off each other. Like, the narcissist likes a people pleaser, and the people pleaser likes to be a people pleaser, and then they both get
burned. Well, let me go ahead and define
Gina's so lost. I'm
Gina's,
like, Gina, we'll get there.
Gina can she can't
just elevator music.
Gina, admit that you have it. Okay,
I have no idea what that is. I am perfect in every way. It's just there's
so
no one home.
I took notes, guys. I actually prepared for this episode. Yay. I took notes because this is actually work that I'm doing in my personal life anyway. Like, I'm stuck at home, I'm fucking sad as shit, and I'm working on myself and reading books. So yes, I have notes. Don't make fun of me. We don't have to read all of them, but
we love the
nerd.
Notes.
There's I like, am so queen. Excited.
There's like three fucking pages nerd. Of notes here. So.
I freaking love notes. I'm okay. Here for it.
Let's go. This is the definition. Well, this is a definition, right? This says codependency is characterized by a person belonging to a dysfunctional, one-sided relationship where one person relies on the other for meeting nearly all of their emotional and self-esteem needs, and it also describes a relationship that enables another person to maintain irresponsible, addictive, or unachieving behaviors.
Yes.
So, did you get that?
Do you want like
an example?
The friend version?
Yeah.
Okay, so if I had to describe codependency, I would say a person who disregards their own needs and feelings for the person they love.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like selling yourself out.
Yeah. So if we were in a relationship and I was like, oh, I wanted to go watch this movie, but because you want to go see a baseball game, then we're going to go see the baseball game. Who gives a fuck about me? As long as you're happy, I'm happy.
I see.
My happiness is only through you.
Whereas, I see.
So maybe a more healthy relationship would be more compromised.
Yeah.
This one's more like just it's always like, you're kind of always like selling yourself out. Like, you never really get what you need.
Yep.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
You're
set boundaries.
Elevator has arrived. We're here.
You're on the floor.
I'm on the floor.
Yeah.
I'm here.
So what I noticed was I've had three actual relationships that were very codependent. And the original definition of codependency came from someone who was with an addict.
Yep.
So it started, a lot of people assume that they're not codependent because their husband or wife is not an addict, but the definition is actually expanded to someone who's just like really needs that other person to feel happy, kind of.
Is it also like two people who literally have to do everything together?
No, that's okay. More like people who are like obsessed with each other. Like, yeah. when she's talking about, like, it comes from an addict, a lot of times when somebody's an addict and they go to rehab, for example, and they go through therapy, everybody in the family of the addict has a role, right? So, for example, let's say we have this family and the mom is the codependent of the son, because no matter what, the mom finds happiness through the son and she enables him mm-hmm. to find drugs. She gives him money to find drugs. She won't kick him out of the house.
Enablers?
Yeah, yes. Enabler yeah. Is a she's huge
the
word.
Biggest enabler. Like okay. the codependent is the number one enabler of the addict. But like Jess said, now it goes into a narcissist relationship where yeah. the narcissist is like, it's about me. Like, how do you think I feel? Like, if you tell people I cheated on you, that makes me look bad. And the codependent's like, I can never tell anyone again because it makes him look bad, even though I'm freaking suffering.
Right. Yeah. Okay, got it. Gotcha. Yes. Thank you.
You're so good at that friend version.
Julie.
Yeah.
Julie.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you know, it's like when
it's like a so me personally, I've been in 3 relationships with addicts. The very first one, yeah, I got a type. They like drugs. I think obviously it comes from my mom being an addict, right? But one thing that this year, I had a breakthrough, okay?
Yes, we love breakthroughs.
Yeah. I always blamed my mom for shit. And obviously, at this point now, I'm old enough and I got to take responsibility for my own shit, right?
Yep.
But we do know some trauma and some behavior stem from childhood. And I'm it was always my mom. She was the addict. She was the fucked up one. But then this year, I actually came to terms with the fact that I do notice that my dad was also emotionally unavailable, even though he was physically available, and he was also he took care of me, he did everything for me, he provided everything, so I basically had 2 parents that were emotionally unavailable, and so that's why every single relationship that I seek out is for someone emotionally unavailable, because I'm trying to finally make it that. Work oh, this one has the same behavior, but this time I'm gonna fix it and make it work, you know?
Yep.
So I follow that behavior. But yeah, I've had 3 relationships with actual addicts, and then I've dated several people that were into drugs or had alcohol issues. So it's
wow, that's quite a pattern.
Quite a pattern.
It's good for you that you noticed it. A lot of people don't even make that first step of noticing what pattern they've had in order to break it.
Acknowledging
it. And what's crazy is that I've also had 3 other relationships that were not with addict people at all. They were with people that don't drink or drugs or anything. So I keep thinking throughout the years, I'm like, oh, I'm over that. And then that relationship ends and then I wind up into it again. So it's a 3 or 5 year cycle. So something is happening where I actually haven't completely fixed it because I'm still am exhibiting those behaviors. But
have you ever considered? So I know that a lot of times when someone does go to rehab, did your mom ever?
She was clean for a while. I don't think she went to rehab, but she was clean for a little while.
So a lot of times when people go to rehab, the family also has to get therapy with mm-hmm. the addict or the alcoholic or whatever the case may be. So a lot of times the family, especially the person who is the biggest enabler, the codependent, they have to say, you know how when an alcoholic goes to a meeting, they're like, my name is whatever and I'm an alcoholic. The codependent, there's also codependent meetings.
Yeah. It's like Al-Anon or something like that.
I don't really know the right terminology.
They also children of alcoholic parents.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think it's just you I'm just crazy and I have to break the pattern. Your case is not just exclusive to you. And you might find some comfort in knowing that you're not the only one and that there's other people like you. Because I think Nikki was saying, oh, it's good that you acknowledge it, you know. I always find comfort in knowing it's not just me crying for no reason. Mm-hmm. It's not just me thinking about, oh my God, my boyfriend's going to do this, and that. When I find other girls that feel the same way, I'm like, friends, let's talk about
understand.
It. Yeah, you feel less crazy, you know? Yeah. So have you ever considered seeking therapy for that specific problem alone?
Yeah. So I've been in and out of therapy pretty much my entire life. So I don't know why I still follow some of the same patterns. Maybe it's my ego thinking
you're human.
I figured it out now. Or,
Human.
Sometimes you can logically get something. It takes a lot to actually ingrain it, because that a lot of the things that you developed were probably coping mechanisms when you were a baby and you didn't even know you were developing that.
Yeah, a lot of this is very subconscious because like very consciously I'll be dating and I'll be like, oh, like how often do you drink or how much do you like to party? And I'll like try to weed things out like in a super chill way. But then like I'll still wind up finding myself so magnetic to the, you know, the wrong one. But anyways, I wanted to go over some symptoms too. So for girls and yeah, like we said, this codependency thing is not just like for with someone that's an alcoholic or a drug addict. Like this encompasses other types of relationships. But if you are codependent, you might have some of these symptoms, which I do, such as controlling behaviors, reactive emotions, obsessive thoughts, problems with intimacy, painful emotions, and depression. Those are some of the ones that I have. There's also other ones like low self-esteem, caretaking, poor boundaries, people-pleasing, not being able to enjoy any interests outside of your partner. Like, you have to do everything with them. Like, you don't want your own hobbies.
Yep.
Like, you just, like, the thought of, like, taking a weekend without them scares the shit out of you. Mm. Also, a lot of people that are codependent, too, may even have their own addictions to deal with as well.
Normally, the codependent, their drug of choice is the person.
Relationship.
Yeah, the person they're addicted to.
Yes.
For me, the people-pleasing aspect, like that part was the huge part. And I think the reason I kept... Oh, by the way, the codependency, narcissism, relationship. Narcissism is hard to break. Like, that's something... They have that, like, forever. They can work on it, but they, like... They have that. Codependency is a behavioral pattern that you can break if you work on it. So before I was working on it, before I even knew that that's something that I was doing, I did get in a lot of relationships with narcissists. And it wasn't like I needed to be with them at all times, because I've always like been like I'm independent, you know? But it was that I was getting with people that would be inconsistent with the amount of love they were giving me. So sometimes
love
they
bombs.
Yeah. And then they would withdraw, and then like it was like, oh no, I lost their approval, or like and that went back to childhood of wanting a parent's approval, getting inconsistent love, thinking that your love was only given based off of things that you were doing and not off of just being. And that was something I had to really relearn or unlearn that, and then relearn like healthy things. But yeah, I noticed that because with Steve, I'm not like this. I'm not like constantly needing to like people please and be
as
every win.
He's consistent with his love.
He's very consistent, and he loves me for me. It's unconditional. It's healthy. It's very like we have space. We have boundaries. We come together. It's no one's needing anything from each other. It's
we love it.
Yeah, it's great, and I hope everyone finds that.
Me too.
But in my past relationship, it was like. He'd be there, and it was like, oh my gosh, she's so in love when we love each other, and like it's so big and so powerful. And then he would withdraw for like a long ass time, and I'd be like, oh no, I lost it. And I'd just
need your fix
anything
again.
I could to like get it back. What am I doing wrong? Maybe it's my hair, maybe it's I need to dress sexier, or maybe I need this or that. And it was everything to try to please him, to gain that love back. And the more it slipped into that, the less attracted he was to me. Like it started to slip down that slope, and then the more I would like try for like the praise and
so
like
I've done that cycle over and over and over and over
sucks.
And over.
Yeah, it drains your self
esteem. Every relationship.
Well, with the ones that were unhealthy, so I've had several unhealthy ones that were like that, and then the ones that weren't like that, I wound up just not really feeling anything for them.
Like it's almost like you're like, well, I don't have to chase you.
It's like,
so why am I with
to
you?
Heroin. I don't want coffee.
Got
you know,
it.
And it's like those relationships were serving me coffee, which is just a light little buzz. But I needed the fucking hardcore shit, and that's like what, and I would just be obsessive over it.
Yeah.
And then with the narcissistic relationship, like the more I'm trying, and then they're like, "Ew, that's like you're being too needy."
Sure.
And then they want you to.
They do.
More.
I
like,
think they want
it's you weird.
To do that. Yeah.
Oh, the narcissistic relationship. It gives me like PTSD.
Yeah. It's a little creepy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But that's totally how it felt.
Relationship addiction is a big part of that. I actually have a note on that. It is similar to physical addiction. I've actually like, I've had some moments where like I physically felt like I was withdrawing. Like my body like felt so sick. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. Like the relationships will get you to a place where you're so physically sick. Like I lost a whole bunch of weight at one point after a relationship didn't work out.
I think we're all looking at you like, bitch, we all did. Like we can relate.
Yeah. So, I mean, but this to me, like it's I had different. To go and get like fucking prescribed Ativan for like 3 days so that I could like come down, like, from this, like, psycho feeling that, yeah. like, I just couldn't, and, like, I would try to sleep, and then my brain would wake me back up, like, it would wake me back up to think about it.
Yeah.
I
hate
it so much. Yeah.
Or, like, you sit there scary. And you just make up things in your head, and you're just like, what the fuck? And then you have to talk yourself down from it.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's, like, such a desperate feeling. It sucks.
It really is.
And you feel like you can make up for it somehow, or, like, maybe you missed a step, or you missed a hole, or something. It's so
like
weird.
You become obsessive mm-hmm. over, like, how to fix it.
It's really frustrating, because it's, like, you know that if you, you know that it's not right, and if you act on it, you know it's going to be detrimental to the relationship, but you still want to do mm-hmm. it anyways. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's been many times where, like, the relationship's not going well, I see that it's unhealthy, I should let it go, but I keep forcing it. It's almost like I think that eventually it's going to work out.
And you think you're never going to find that feeling with anyone else.
Yeah.
Like, that's really how it felt, was like, no, this is so strong that I know, like, I have to make this work somehow.
Do you still feel that way?
I've run into those feelings again this year, so I know that it's something that I still have to deal with.
Yeah, because I could relate to those feelings of like, oh my God, I'm never going to find that again. Like, I love him so much. Yeah. But even now where I'm in a healthy relationship and we love each other and we have boundaries and we're there for each other, I would be so fucking sad if it ever went the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But I know that there's someone else that will love me. And I never have that in mind. Like, even other relationships, like, where I hear you talk about you and Steve, like, it sounds like such a beautiful relationship. I see you, I see him, and I'm like, dude, that's dope. But do you believe that this is the only thing that you could ever be happy with?
Well, I think because I've already set my mind on, like, he's my forever. Like, I don't even go into any other realms. But no, if it really came down to it, like, of course, I think it is about self-love. It's like
you're still lovable, yeah, even if he's not there.
Even if he's not the one loving me, that the amount of love you have for yourself is what you attract back.
For sure.
Yeah.
With them, it's tough, though, because I almost feel codependent that their relationship stays together. I'm like, if you guys ever break up, he's the only one that's going to love you that much.
Right. If you guys ever break up,
You're the only one that's going to love him that much.
Right. But see, like, even for you to feel that way about their relationship, like, you, like, are recognizing those patterns, because you're mm-hmm. like, no, that's the only love that's available for you, mm-hmm. which it's a beautiful love, and we're not minimizing it at all whatsoever, but like, Nikki is Nikki without Steve, and Steve is Steve without Nikki, and then they just happen to have a great relationship. But even if, like, God forbid something were to happen, they would still live on. It would be completely painful, but they're two people that are choosing to stay together, you know? So when it's interesting, because when I was younger, I thought like that. But now that I kind of grew up, I'm like, not grew up, but that I've developed different parts of myself, I don't feel that way anymore. So it's almost like, what is it in your heart?
It's weird. It's like, in each time that it happens, and then I, like, fall for someone else, like, a month or months or years later, and I don't feel that, like, obsessive feeling about the person before, it goes away. And I'm like, oh, well, this one's so much better. Mm-hmm. But I keep forgetting that next time it could be better again. It's like I'm still stuck in the moment of, like, no, this is it. Like, this one has the 9 out of 10 things that I want. The last one only had 8 out of 10 or 7 out of 10. So I'm never going to get a 10 out of 10. So this one has to be the one. But then that goes away. And then, like, as time goes by, I'm like, oh, I didn't need that, you know? But mm-hmm. it's like I keep forgetting in the moment.
Yeah.
To where I'm, like, clinging.
Yeah.
For me, it was that, like, I thought I would never find somebody that understood me. Like, because I feel like there's only a few people that I've gotten close enough to that they get my bad moments and my good moments, and, like, they just, like, understand me. Mm-hmm. And that was so important. And even though my ex was treating me shitty, or would have, like, weird, inconsistent, I don't love you, I only would love you if you do this, like, behavior, I was like, but they get me so well. So how could they be? They can't be wrong, you know? And so I give more trust into, like, their opinion or view of me, or, like, them doling out the love than me doling out my own love or my opinion of myself. And actually, Steve really helped me, like, love who I am, like, actually helped me grow in that direction. So, I don't know. Like, it's just for getting out of that pattern was really having to, like, set boundaries in my own self of, like, this is my pattern of what ends up happening in a relationship, and these are the flags, and I just can't let it cross this point, because once you let one pattern get started, like, it just, it snowballs. And so, like, the whole inconsistent texting back, or inconsistent with the way that he feels about me, it's just a no, it's a red flag. Yep. I'm not gonna put up with it anymore. And I feel like I got tested after I came to that conclusion. I went on a few dates where I would have gone for those guys. Like, I was like, that, you're my type, let's make it happen. And then they threw up the first flag and I was like, ready to ignore it. I was like, but I like all this other stuff about them. I'm like, oh, I gotta set these boundaries.
I think that's what I've been doing now, is I've been getting tested, you know, this past year, like when we were still able to date and stuff. Like, I definitely, like, really wanted to hang on to this one guy, like, so hard. But
you invited other people to come to your door.
Like,
you know what I'm dependent on?
Food delivery guys.
You know what I'm dependent on?
What are you dependent on?
I'm dependent on DoorDash.
Yeah. That's a healthy dependency.
Yeah, because you have to eat. Without them, I would literally die, especially during COVID right now. DoorDash is a food delivery service that I love so much. If you're a sack of crap like I am and you don't ever want to leave the house or cook, then DoorDash is your best friend. Be codependent on DoorDash.
the sponsor's going to be like, wait.
I love you. Please don't leave me. So give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings food that you're craving right now right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. You can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's.
Why are you saying it like that?
And the Cheesecake Factory.
Every time she has to put that
out.
I can't help it because Chipotle is the first one. Many of your local favorite restaurants are still open for delivery, and they need your support right now because of what's going on with this pandemic. Just open up the app and select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of 15 doll hairs or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code BIGMOOD. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code BIGMOOD. Don't forget, that's BIGMOOD for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. I love you.
You're so cute.
Have you guys ever wanted to feel like it's Christmas for no reason whatsoever?
Yes.
Yeah.
And if your love language is gifting like mine, man, have I got something for you. FabFitFun is a women's lifestyle subscription box filled with a full-size, premium beauty, lifestyle, fitness, home, and wellness products sent straight to your doorstep each season.
I love it.
They take the hassle out of shopping by doing it for you. Each box is customized to your specific interests, and they deliver the seasonal must-haves you need. The box sell out so fast, so sign up for yours today. I got my first one and I had no idea what was going to be in it. I thought it was just going to be like those small little things. It was a huge box.
A gigantic box.
Yeah, all of us got one.
I love the jewelry they put in those too. Like, I always get introduced to new jewelry designers and stuff, and it's always such cute stuff. This season was a chain bracelet.
Yeah.
I wore it on a previous video.
Yeah.
I did do that.
I got a necklace.
We're twinsies because I got the same one.
Hell yeah.
I saw that.
But yeah, like, they have everything. I got a full backpack.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they fit so many things. It's so fun.
And they tell you the retail value of each item, too, in a magazine. And they see, like, you see what other people might have gotten, and you compare, and you go,
I've been getting FabFitFun all of 2019. I got all the four seasons of those boxes, too, and I love it. That's how I got introduced to the Way hair care. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
And I got some really cute sunglasses in there, too. Same. So I love it. And then the things that you maybe don't want, which really is very rare, that I don't actually want everything in the box, maybe one or two things out of the like 10 things that are in the box, I may be like, well, I'm not super excited about this. It's super giftable because it's it's full size products. It's not some, you know, BS little sample. So I love it. It's useful.
It's time to customize your box for the fall season. Sign up today to receive your first box and join a community of over 1 million women who are already obsessed.
Use coupon code BIGMOOD for $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com. Again, use code BIGMOOD for $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com.
$10 off. Hey,
I want another box.
Okay, but anyways, I Back to the relationship addiction thing, it also goes into actual addictions too. There's this thing, it says, many people are addicted to alcohol and drugs but don't realize it because they're still high functioning. Relationship addiction can be the same. Like, it's easy to not realize that you have relationship addictions or that it's not normal to be experiencing these like high anxiety states or like these obsessive states, because you kind of just like, we've normalized that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
But one thing that I realized was that like an obsession with the other is a distraction from yourself. Yep. So I haven't been able to fully come to terms with who I am. So I think that's why I do this behavior, is because I'm not fully loving myself. Yeah. It's so much easier to just like put my focus on something for else. Sure. I got to make this guy love me, blah, 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 versus just me loving me.
Yeah. I almost feel like I was going to ask you earlier, do you think you are worthy of love?
I think consciously, yes. Subconsciously, no.
Yeah, because it almost seems like you're like, I have to gain the love of the person. And if it's not a challenge, then I don't want it.
Right.
Because what's the point?
Because there are people that do want to love me and I fucking toss them to the side.
Yeah. And like, even I was actually, I just, so the other day, are you guys on TikTok?
Yes.
Okay. So
not for long, girl.
Okay. Well, let me tell you. So there's this like trend on TikTok that basically like a bunch of people did transgression meditation. Are you familiar? Mm-mm. So basically, it's this like guided meditation on YouTube, and everybody was like, "Oh my god, you guys! I did this, so I tried it." Right. So basically, it's this professor or author. I don't remember.
Is it transcendental meditation or transgression meditation?
Like, you go to the past.
Oh.
I don't know if my English is failing me, but you basically travel back to your past life.
Regression
meditation.
There you go.
Yes. So basically, it talks about how you go back to your past lives or whatever, and through the meditation, you guys should really do it. It was so intense. It was
link
beautiful.
Me. Yeah.
Yes. Well, one of the things that he takes you through in the meditation before he takes you to your past lives, it's the moment when you were born. And so I don't know if people listening believe in this or if you guys believe in this, but I personally really believe in meditation. And so basically, he takes you above the scene of when you were born and like, who was there, how did your parents feel, look at your mom's face, look at your dad's face, like, you know, if your parents were, I mean, if your dad was there or not. And one of the things he takes note of that you think about is you were loved without even trying.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to do anything. Like, just the fact that you're human means that you need love.
A human being, not a human trying.
Yeah.
Doing. Get it right, Gina.
Yeah, that was really touching for me, because like, of course you think about that and you're like, yeah, I deserve love. I'm like, I everybody should love me just because I'm human. But actually feeling like you didn't have to do anything. You were just a baby and your mom loved you, your dad loved you, and you were just sitting there like not even knowing what the hell's going on, and feeling that as a grown-up, not necessarily like, oh, my parents love me, but I deserve love just because I exist.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was very powerful.
I think like, not doing the regression thing, but I did in therapy, I did do some sort of meditation where I did like a reparenting thing. So it was like, I had to visualize being a little girl in a kind of a traumatic moment that I remember, because I was left alone a lot too. Those weren't the traumatic parts, but those were the parts that stick with me, was just the feeling alone part too, because I was always left alone as a little child. So I remember she had me kind of visualize myself in my bedroom alone, because she would always be gone getting fucked up. And then so she had me then visualize myself now, my adult self now, with my two dogs walking into that room with that little girl who was just by herself and scared. And then immediately it clicked to me. I was like, I'm okay now.
Yeah.
Like, I have myself, like that little girl that was scared and felt alone is like, she's really not anymore. She's not helpless. She's not anything. Like, and like, I felt good like watching my adult self now go into that room and be like, hey, do you want to play with the dogs?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like a similar thing, like reparenting whatever it is that you feel like you missed out on.
I saw a TikTok where this girl was like, I want you to think about your most traumatic moment when you were a kid. And then imagine yourself now as an adult going in there and just hugging your child self.
That's so it's very common in therapy when you meditate into your, it's like it, child work, like, because mm-hmm. the person that you were when you were a child still lives within mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
And so all those questions, I'm sure you've talked about this in therapy, all those questions that you had when you were little, like, where's my mom? Why am I by myself? I'm scared. Like, yeah. somebody walked by, whatever, all those thoughts were always left unanswered. And so you grew up and you're like, well, I'm fine now. Yeah, you're fine now. But it's important to meditate and go back to those moments mm-hmm. and reassure yourself now and let her know I'm here with you. I don't know if you guys believe in like different dimensions, like all your life. Girl. Yes, yes, I love it. So your whole life is basically going on in different universes at all times, mm-hmm. right? So when you meditate, you jump into different years of your life.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. So even when you meditated and you went back into your childhood bedroom,
yeah.
that truly was you visiting yourself and taking care of yourself. I felt
a sense of relief from that. Like yeah. a strangely relieving to see like that little girl, oh, to see it. Who I am now, that I'm okay, that I have yes. these two like cute ass little dogs that are just running around.
And you
like,
were there with yourself. Yeah. And it's even comforting to think that in these moments when life is tough, as grownups now, future us hangs out with us at some point. Like you're not aware of it, but I'm sure in the tough moments of my life, my future self has came by and been like, you got it. Like you're going to be fine.
Maybe we are our own guardian angels.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah.
Because your future dead yeah. self is like looking down on
you. Yeah. Or even like 50-year-old, yeah. like Jess is married with children yeah. and she's like, ooh, girl. Like
she's like, you're fine.
Yeah, but your feelings are still valid.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually of course. One of the meditations I do recently, like when I'm going through just like, oh, everything's, like shit's hitting the fan right now, one of the meditations I did was like imagining yourself 5 or 10 years from now and like what your ideal version of yourself is, and imagine what does she look like, does she have kids, what's her day like what does she do for work, like just imagining every detail of who this person is. And then she comes and sits down with you and like tells you, answers any questions you need to know, and like you just have this whole like meeting with her. And then me now feels good, like, oh, she's fine.
You feel guided. You pan
yeah,
out.
Maybe, yeah.
Like you pan out from like this moment where everything's breaking down and you're like, we lived through it though. Like it mm-hmm. wasn't so horrible that we didn't make it through.
Yeah.
And maybe like if you've never tried meditating, you're like, this is very woo-woo. I mean, just try it with an open mind, because like nobody knows. We don't know.
Yeah.
And if it's placebo effect, like let's say it's all fake and it's placebo effect.
Well, even medically it works. So if you're a logical yeah. person, then you should believe in placebo effect anyway.
Yeah. I saw like TikTok. I'm like, this is fucking dumb. But
I'm gonna do it.
It's four in the morning. I'm gonna do it anyways. And then just,
oh God.
Yeah. yeah.
Next thing you know, you're fucking yeah. crying yeah. and shit. Well, I do have some stuff on like how to heal from it, but I think the biggest thing is just recognizing it, first of all, and like not being ashamed of it. Because I think a lot of times people hear codependent, or they hear something and they're just like, oh, that's not me, or like, oh, that's embarrassing, or like the yeah. denial part of that.
Or they blame men.
Yeah.
They yeah. blame other outside things yeah. like, oh, there's just no decent guys or whatever. Yeah.
So question though, how can people, because like we are here and we're like, okay, this is a definition, it's easy. But for example, when I'm listening to things like this or when I'm watching, I tend to be like, oh my God, I'm a codependent. Like just because I have one of the two symptoms. Yeah, like yeah. I'm like, I'm definitely codependent, like I'm gonna die, you know? So what's the difference between a normal girl who wants to spend time with her boyfriend and see him and hang out, and like if he's being rude and like she's upset, like what's the difference?
Yeah, like how do you notice that behavior and
somebody that's like a codependent?
Well, I think the best thing to do, because each person is so different and their life is so different and there's so many variables, would be like you could actually go in and get a book on codependency, and like yeah. they'll really fucking break it down. Like,
if you feel
it's hard to break it down like within just a few minutes, right? But then there's just a lot of things like, are you okay when he's gone? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Like just even thinking about leaving the relationship, would that actually completely fucking crush you, or would you be like, oh, I'd be sad, but like it's okay? Or like, do you feel like you're not being taken care of? Do you feel unfulfilled? Do you feel desperate? Like, do you feel unhealthy
feelings? Do you feel sad all the time because of a relationship, but then you're like, wait, no, but I love them?
Are they doing things to disrespect you and you just overlook it? Like, there's just like, you've got to be able to distinguish like things that are just disrespectful and not right or unfulfilling. Like,
yeah, I think at the bottom of it all, like even hearing you talk, I'm like, oh my God, I'm listening. Like, am I a codependent, you know? But even hearing you talk, like the bottom of it all, I always think to myself, I love me more than I love everyone else. And not in an egotistic way, yeah. Like, oh, who gives a fuck about you guys' feelings? Like, not like that, but in a way that's like, I love my partner. I'm in love with him and I respect him. Yeah. But if he ever did something that made me doubt my self-worth or made me doubt my love for myself, I would be willing to walk away from the relationship.
Yeah, so I don't think that you're a codependent.
Right.
Yeah, because like for me, well, now I think I'm actually getting much better because I did walk away from a guy that I was dating that it just started getting unhealthy and I was like, this is something when I was 22, I would have fucking stayed in it. But yeah, so like I used to stay, like my ex would be cheating constantly, like, and just right in front of my face. Like it was just so blatantly unfulfilling and disrespectful. And I would just make excuses for it and stay because I didn't want to be alone. Right. So that was like kind of
a good
obvious.
Way.
It was pretty obvious.
Yeah, to tell.
But like a lot of people can have behaviors or just seasons where they kind of act a little bit codependent. But I think overall it's just like,
oh, this reminds me, I went to therapy, like my best therapist that I ever went to that broke down all this stuff for me. That
Send me a link.
Definitely. She's expensive, but she has like a program that you're done within, instead of like ongoing forever. She has like a program that like, she's called the Mind Map, and she specializes in codependent narcissistic relationships, but she like, you reprogram like all this stuff that you wired in your brain when you were a baby and like didn't know, and like you, it's really great. Anyway, I went to her because even though I wasn't experiencing that in my relationship, I realized I was having the same sort of feelings towards like my audience as a YouTuber.
Oh yeah, yeah. It can be even in girl friendships or guy friendships. It can be in like a number of things that you can have, like, an unhealthy relationship.
If people were like disappointed in me, or they didn't like if I changed my format or whatever, I would try to cater to everybody. Like where I was like, oh, well, I'm not really satisfied doing these types of videos anymore. I was wanting to do these more types of videos. But then this sector of people was mad. Like, oh, I did cooking videos, right? And then there was a time where I changed to doing plant-based cooking because personally, I stopped eating meat. And then it felt weird cooking with meat, even if I wasn't eating meat. But I didn't want to shove my beliefs on anybody. Yeah. But anyway, I just transitioned into just making plant-based meals because that's what I was doing for me. And there was a lot of hate of people that, like, were pissed that I stopped cooking with meat. And I was like, I was freaking out inside. And I know it's like, looking back now, I'm like, that's not a big deal. Like, why did you freak out so much? But internally, I was having panic attacks all the time because I was like, should I cook with meat just for those people? And like, I was going crazy, and it was over something minor like that. And then it started leaking into just other areas of like any criticisms people had of me, of, and you know, the more your audience grows, the more criticisms you're gonna get. I was just like, I can't do anything right, like I'm fucking up, like everyone's gonna hate me.
You became obsessive. So that goes back into the where one person relies on the other, whether that's one person or your whole audience, to meet nearly all of their emotional and self-esteem needs. Like if you felt emotionally strong in yourself and you had all the self-esteem in the world, you wouldn't give a shit. You're like, I don't care if you want meat, I'm not cooking with meat anymore.
Yeah Like, which is like now I'm there I'm like, this is me, you do you, I do me, whatever. But yeah, it went back to childhood because I didn't think of it outside of a romantic relationship as having codependent issues. But since those same feelings started coming back and it felt like I was in an abusive relationship again, basically, just not with Steve.
Yeah.
It went back to all of those issues as a child. It always goes back to childhood, I feel like, your psychological issues. And like you, I was always like opposite though, focused on my dad, like, oh, dad issues.
Yeah.
But those got resolved. And then like there were certain things that I felt like my mom at the time had to carry, like, had to shoulder everything. And maybe there were times where because she was working full time, that I just wanted my mom, and she was working, she wasn't doing drugs, but she had to provide for her family, and you know, and I just
that same environment of like you not getting your emotional needs met when you're really small
as a kid,
like, it can still create that same,
exactly, because as an adult I'm like, well, she had to do that, she had to provide for family, like I can logically be like, I would have done the same thing.
That's how I'm with my dad. It's like maybe they wasn't emotionally available enough, but it's like not for a bad reason, it's like just circumstantial.
But as a kid, as a very little kid, like you don't differentiate that. You're just like, my mom's not here, I need my mom. Like, I need love, I need my mom, and she's not here.
I think you touched on something earlier that kind of sparked a memory in my head where you said that you know that you're going to be okay even after a breakup. I think that's something, because for me, somebody told me that before, and then I realized that's something really hard to hear from your partner, because we were in a
they told you what, like, I'm gonna be fine after you?
He said, if we break up, I'm gonna be sad for a little while, but at the end I'm gonna be okay. And then
that's hard to hear.
It's really hard.
It stings. It stings.
Because to me, it's just like, no, I want you to fucking die if I leave you, you know? And I was like, wait, no, that's not right. Because I think the same way too.
It's toxic.
Yeah, because I think the same way too. I'm like, if we break up, I'm going to be so sad, but I'm going to be okay, you know?
Yeah.
But it's really hard to hear that from someone.
That is so crazy to think about, because I'm the one that's like, I'm going to be fine, you know? And so I don't know that I've ever... Even like when I was stupid in love, not that I'm still super in love, but when I was young and more naive, you know, I was still like, meh, you know, like I could still, I'll be fine.
Yeah, you're such an Aries.
Yeah, exactly.
You're an Aries.
I am, yeah.
If you were a guy, I would be making you fall in love with me right now, because I would want it so bad.
Probably because your hair was so great.
But yeah, so I had, like when I first heard that, I was like, excuse me? And then he's like, how dare you, first of all?
Gina, wasn't it because your hair was so great? And you were like, oh, yeah. Wow.
Nikki's trying so hard to segue into the ad.
You know, during that argument, I had great hair.
So you were so confident he was going to be sad to leave you because your hair was so great.
Your hair was so good.
You're like, why the
curly hair? Like, what's
But we'll get to that, because that is important. But first, I want to talk about Function of Beauty, because it's bomb and we all love it. Our hair is thriving on it. And also, I love how, okay, one, it's custom. I have so many things I love about this company. I even reordered and paid with my own doll hairs, because I like
me too. I reordered from
really
them.
Loved it. But yeah, no, this company, so it's everything's custom. And so you go on there, you take a hair quiz. They're like, what kind of hair do you have? Is it straight? Is it wavy? Is it curly? What's your thickness? Is it fine? Is it thick? Is it coarse?
Is it bleached?
Is it bleached? Is it color treated? They ask you all kinds of questions about your hair. I'm like, natural, natural, natural.
I know, you have virgin hair.
Yeah, it is a virgin. But it'll get
virgin in this room
popped soon sometime. We'll get there. But anyway, so you take the hair quiz, and then it determines like what custom formula will help your hair thrive the most according to also your hair goals. Do you want more shine? Do you want more volume? Do you want less frizz? Whatever it is. And then you get to pick the scent. So I did eucalyptus because I really love eucalyptus, but now I'm on lavender, and it's so refreshing and so de-stressing. And then you get to pick the color. And so I picked purple to go with lavender just because I'm a visual person. And then you get to put your name on the bottle. So it's very, very personalized to you. If someone else used your hair formula, it might not work the same for them. But I really like that personalized thing. And then they deliver it right to your door. Convenient. Don't have to even leave your doorstep. And then you can get on a subscription if you want to. So what are you waiting for? Go to functionofbeauty.com/bigmood to take your 4-part hair profile quiz and save 20% on your first order. Go to functionofbeauty.com/bigmood for 20% off to let them know that you heard about it from our show. That's functionofbeauty.com/bigmood.
Big mood. Yay.
All right. Now, can I talk about Cox for a second?
Fine.
Our next sponsor is Roman.
It's what?
We are codependent on Cox. I am codependent on Cox.
True.
And I like when Cox work. I like when they get really, really hard. And if you happen to just have a little bit of an issue with getting hard, Roman can help you, boys. You don't need to make any excuses. A lot of men actually deal with erectile dysfunction. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's natural. There's all kinds
Even if you don't have erectile dysfunction, but just like want to stay harder longer.
Yeah, they have more than one product as well. But today we're talking about erectile dysfunction medication that they can connect you with a doctor online. So with Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. You don't have to go look a man in the face and tell him that your dick doesn't work. You can do it online. It's
or
so much
woman.
Easier. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication happens to be appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. It used to be a tough thing to tackle, but now it's super simple. So go to getroman.com/bigmood. Today, if you're approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That is getroman.com/bigmood. Getroman.com/bigmood. Take care of your dicks.
Yeah. We're fixing relationships. We're fixing wieners.
We're fixing all kinds of stuff. That's what we do. We're fixers.
Have an ideal life.
But don't be a fixer.
Okay.
Be a fixer.
That's me.
Oh, boy. So for you guys, because you had the opposite things mm-hmm. that you were saying, like you that you're the person that's like,
I'm fine.
And
well, that's the thing. I always said it too. I just never said it out loud.
Out loud. See, because so when I hear it's hurtful. I can pinpoint exactly what hurts me about that is that it sounds like you're not as committed as me.
Yeah.
Yes. Like it sounds like you have one foot out the door. Yes. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what
my
like.
Water sign ass is like, I'm motherfucking committed.
I'm in this, bitch.
But I mean, my point to that is, shouldn't you always feel... not like you have one foot out the door, but like you're here and
you're
I'm
be okay.
here. No, because we want to be here.
Yeah.
Like we love each other so much.
True. Yes.
That if you ever are not happy and I'm ever not the best option for you, I respect you and love you enough to want you to pursue what's best for you.
Yes.
That's the love that I want. So maybe, I don't know in which demeanor you were told that or like in what the situation was told, but I'm never like, and I don't give a fuck, like I'll walk, I'm never like that. No, it's a conversation never. That we're having and I'm like, I love you so much, and if you feel like this isn't working for you anymore because I'm not the best thing for you, I love you and respect you for
See,
that.
I agree with that
logically.
If someone's saying that like, hey, I'm gonna be okay, it to me I'm like, why are you saying that? Because are you saying that because you're already feeling like you're about to walk away and that you're gonna be okay? Because like, otherwise, like, wouldn't you just be like, I'm so happy to be here right now?
Yeah, like, what, you're saying that you're gonna be fine without me?
Right.
Yeah. I'm not good enough?
Why are you saying, hey, I'm gonna be fine without you?
This is a conversation.
Like, I don't know
if it's
a tax. I'm a fire sign, but I don't know why this isn't working out right now.
Maybe you're a water rising.
Yeah. I think
we'll
that,
get to it.
Yeah, I think maybe I just, like, for all we know, you guys are just like perfectly fine and I'm just like the one that's not committed or whatever. But because of the way I grew up, you know, but the way I see it is with these conversations that just happen, like I'm walking in from work and I'm like, I can be fine without you. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, you're like, I'd be fine without this job. I'd be fine without this car. I'd be fine without all this shit. Yeah. Wake him up in the middle of the night. Like,
and I live by that. Yeah. Like, I really do.
It turned into that big-eyed emoji. Like,
I'm really not attached to anything. And
you shouldn't be. We shouldn't be
attached
to anything.
Yeah, and that includes my relationship and all my relationships.
I want to be like you, girl.
But what's the difference between that and being like not being able to commit if you're just not attached to anything?
Well, the thing, so I'll tell you my personal difference. I would marry my boyfriend in a heartbeat. I would be with him forever in a heartbeat. I want to spend a long, long time with
him.
How
long y'all been together?
It's 2 years and like a month-ish. But I was going to tell you, the thing is, I don't even like using the word forever because eventually one of us will pass, and it was one of us our forevers, but not the other person. And right. So I'm not saying like I'm leaving because I fucking hate you and I found someone better or whatever. I'm saying like life happens and you have to know that at the end of it all, you're going to be okay regardless of what happens. I don't mean someone's going to get cheated on. Like, I will never cheat on anybody, and I live by that. And if I ever got cheated on, I will survive. Like, it's not detrimental to my health or my heart. It will hurt a lot, but I don't necessarily mean like we're gonna be unfaithful to each other or find someone better. I just like a lot of things can happen, and
just secure basically, and you're just 100% secure.
Yeah, it gets really dark, but like how many people are widows?
Yeah,
and should you not ever
widowers,
get
there's a lot of widowers too.
Yeah, like how should you not ever get a chance to live again and love again because you devoted yourself? Like if I passed away, I would want my boyfriend to find someone that made him
and
happy.
That's best case scenario, like you both loved each other as much as you could until life
Gina
happened.
And I are looking down from the heavens like you better not.
I swear to God, the moment you about to fuck some other bitch, I'm gonna come in, I'm a poltergeist dress and slap the fuck out of you.
I'm gonna haunt you. I'm gonna move a closet door open.
Would you do
knock
that
shit off the dresser? Like,
would you do that for him? Like, would you never fuck anyone else for the rest of your life? Are you really that in love?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
100%. I would never.
Why would you say that?
She's lying.
Is he gonna haunt me? Is he gonna haunt me?
It's not about me. All right,
we know damn well.
We're talking about us.
No, like, I know. Yeah, it's just, I think you have to be able to take it if you're gonna dish it out.
Right.
Oh, have you, what was that? That like kink quiz thing, the like, remember that test?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we both got brat.
We're the same exact person.
Yeah.
When it comes to like relationships.
When it comes
stuff.
To like, yeah, how sex. We like being loved and like, and then sexually and all that stuff, we got like, submissive brat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're like, exactly you gotta love me.
So you get it.
Only me, wah. And then, but only me, you know, wah. Ultimately.
I'm gonna use that. Only me, wah.
That's pretty cute. But yeah, so like some other, I guess, healing directions and stuff that I'm working on. I did like, I was like, how do I get rid of this? Because obviously this is my number one thing. Like before I get into the next relationship, I mean, obviously I'm still going to be working on it. I might slip and fall into these patterns again, but I'm working on it. So this is some how to heal. This is what I found. Obviously recognizing the first step, counseling, embracing the honesty of it is a big thing. I've already been in counseling for this a lot. So I think now it's just, for me, it's more like putting action into kind of like what I've already known. But if you haven't even started, counseling might be a good step. Another thing is like reconnecting with friends and family, because like people like me tend to get so like obsessed or wrapped up into that relationship or something. You kind of almost start isolating yourself.
Same, yeah.
Like you stop like going out with your girlfriends and blah, blah, blah until it's over. And then all of a sudden you need them again. And then, so it's just like trying to always maintain a level of your life. Like your friends are always there. Your life is kind of always still going regardless of if the relationship is there or not.
On that note though, having good friends, cause like,
that's hard to find.
If you have also toxic friends, then they're kind of enablers too. Like, what? No, he needs to be like this or whatever. And
like, it stay with your man. Traps just stay you in with the your pattern. Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said that to me.
No, but you, okay, because you're
crazy.
You're an abandoner.
No, I'm not crazy. I'm an abandoner.
You're trying to abandon him. Yeah. And he does one fucking thing wrong.
Don't tattle on Jess.
The past is the past. Look, not current. Look. He does one fucking thing wrong. And Gina's like, I'm fucking leaving his ass.
Listen,
like,
don't focus on me. Girl. Don't focus on me.
Listen, you called me and what did I tell you?
You told me a lot. But yeah, it helped out a lot. Yeah.
Right. And but like,
was she trying to leave him for nothing?
Okay, codependency. Let her respect and put her boundaries.
I know, but like he does one small thing. He does one small thing and she's trying to run and I'm like,
those are hair boundaries.
It wasn't
though.
That small. The fear of abandonment also causes me to push away relationships that could be healthy. Because I'm like, oh, wait, no, to actually be loved is fucking blows my mind.
Here's where I think you're both right and wrong.
Okay.
Okay. So this is what happened when you're not here. So I agree with that. Hey, if this is my boundary and like you crossed it, stand your ground.
Yeah,
this.
I still believe that.
But also the way that Gina stands her ground is not.
She burns the
healthiest. So I think like, have a conversation with him. Maybe not burn the whole fucking house down.
Burn it down. Burn the fucking house down.
Fire sign, bitch.
She wants to burn the house down. Where I'm the water sign trying to put it out a little bit. Like, hey.
Spray the fucking flamethrowers everywhere.
I think it's worked very well for me to be like, this is my line. And if you want to cross it, there will be consequences.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, for that particular issue, I think it's a subconscious thing that he was doing.
So Jess, you're both right, okay, but not so have boundaries.
Yeah,
don't be like
have
it's
boundaries.
Okay.
No,
like,
no, have
keep
boundaries.
Doing it over and over and over again, even though it really, really hurts me and really bothers me, and it's gonna fester, and then eventually I'm gonna hate you forever.
Yeah,
don't do that. But maybe have a conversation and
set a small thing on
or
fire,
some patience, right? A little bit of patience,
And a little bit of letting him grow. Because if you just go and attack, then he's gonna be on the defense and like, be like, fuck you back.
Also,
you know?
So like when you make a mistake, do you want him to fucking burn the ground down, or do you want him to give
what
you a
chance?
What
kind of mistake are we talking about?
It depends.
Right. Yeah, so I think we all have our set of individual boundaries, and we all accept what we think is okay to ourselves, our upbringing, whatever the case may be. And if someone, like if your best friend was telling you, hey, this is what happened to me, what would you tell her?
Leave him, bitch. Get another dick.
So you stand
broke him, anyway.
But the thing is though, they're all broken. Just which kind of broken doll do you want to play with?
We're all broken.
It's
always easier to give advice than take it, though.
Of course.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Especially if you're in it.
Yeah, but you want to treat yourself like someone you love.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you love your best friend.
I would never tell her to stay in something that was detrimental, for sure. So I don't want it to be like that.
I personally think, and this is not speaking to your specific situation, but I think that what you allow will continue.
Of course.
And it will only get worse.
Yeah. That's true.
So it's like when you get the first 6 months of a relationship, I don't know how long it's been or whatever, but those are like the little appetizers, if you will, that you're getting. And eventually the main dish is going to come out.
So that's what I struggle with, because it's like, how do I know if it's
appetizer,
active growth, like he's trying to learn from it, or this is going to be like, all right, this is not, you know.
I think you trust hard. You'll trust yourself, and eventually it'll get to the point where you'll be like, oh, that was too much of a main dish for me, like, right. You know what, that's my line, and that was good enough. Like, no one ever knows. Like, I could sit here and be like, break up with him, stay with him, or whatever, but you only know your bottom line and how far you're willing to take it,
right?
And when you get there, whether it's him doing whatever or him doing something worse, or maybe someday you'll literally just wake up and be like, nah, like, I'm over it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, so that's what I struggle with personally, because it's like, what is being compromising, mm-hmm. as opposed to being walked all over? Yeah. Well, besides the obvious,
there's
stuff,
kind of a
mean?
Thin line. Yeah, that it's difficult.
I think intentions really do matter, right. So like his intentions weren't trying to disrespect you, obviously, yeah,
right.
Even though you still felt disrespected, if that makes sense. So like, for me, it would be different if he was intentionally disrespecting you over and over and like trying to make you feel like you're at fault for that. I'd be like, it's not worth it, Gina, leave it, like,
right.
Boundaries, he crossed them many times, bye. But if it feels like in your situation it was unintentional, and yeah. he feels bad about, like, and he like doesn't want to keep going. And I'm not talking about a guy that like abuses you,
no,
or like
it's super
like there's
small.
Like,
I would never.
This, it's a certain slight, like, you know how you have something that like maybe kind of like irritates you a little bit, and like someone's kind of like poking you like that, and then you're just like, stop fucking poking me, and they're like, oops, I didn't know I was even touching you, right. It's like that.
There's a line, I forget how it goes, but it's like, we judge ourselves and our actions based on our intentions, but we judge other people just based on the action. We don't even consider their intention. So it's like, you got to take into account how you would judge yourself if you made that mistake too.
Right.
A little bit. Okay, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm confused by that, because I personally stand my ground when I say that it doesn't matter how you mean to do something, it's how it comes off. So when I learned the difference between those two things, for example, I could be like, oh my God, like, I totally didn't mean to disrespect you that way, but you did. So what are you going to do about it now? Like, you did disrespect me, and that was hurtful to me. Yeah. So how?
But if you see them taking accountability, then yeah. It's easier to give forgiveness.
For sure.
Right?
The first time.
Yeah.
And then what? Like, yeah. What do you need to do so it doesn't happen again? Because if it's going to continue to happen, then this is not something that I can continue to put up with.
Yeah, I get that.
Because the first time it's a mistake, I get it. It happens. The second time, like, what? Why is this still happening? The third, fourth, fifth time, like, why am I even still tolerating it? And the reason is because you want to and you can, because no one's the boss in your life but you, you know. But yeah, I think that whole like, oh, like, he didn't mean to, well, but he did, so what's the action behind it? Like, how does he fix it? You know, I think us as women, we often go with the whole like, oh, he didn't mean to, he didn't know any better. But men are grown up, like, mm-hmm. they're grown men, and they should be responsible for their actions.
Yeah.
They shouldn't just be like, oh, he didn't know any better. Like, he's a grown ass man.
Mm-hmm.
Tiff says, how do you maintain the boundary that you set then?
So I could talk for personal
consequences,
experience.
I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Like, for example, I think I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
From who? Who's going to get you in trouble?
Well, like, I respect my boyfriend and my relationship, you know, but I'm just going to give a minor example. So with the whole COVID thing, we're all learning our different boundaries. Like, everyone's different boundaries. You're learning your sisters, your partners, your moms, whatever, whoever you live with. So for example, now that things have loosened up and things are more like free or whatever, my boyfriend has gone to go get a haircut, for example, right? And if that makes me really nervous, I'm like, no, don't go get a haircut. Like, please, like, what if you catch COVID and then you're going to bring it to the house, whatever. But to him, the haircut is so important, right? So a boundary I've set with him is like, anytime you go out anywhere that I feel like it's unsafe or you're like surrounded by too many people or whatever, I don't want to see you for 3 to 4 days. So that's a small boundary compared to like other things. But I live by that. I don't see him for even if I want to see him. And when I've gone to places like this where I'm surrounded by people I haven't seen or whatever the case may be, he's like, oh, I don't want to see you for 3 to 4 days. And I'm like, okay, that's something I can respect, because I was the one who brought this boundary into our relationship. So now I have to live by that too.
Well, thank you for sacrificing 3 or 4 days without your boyfriend to come see us.
You're welcome. No, I'm just kidding. He's not that strict with it like I am, you know? But that's an example of a boundary. And you can set boundaries with anybody. Like, my sister and I have boundaries with each other. We live together. And it's like, don't bring anything outside of your room, like a mess, you know, that you, because it's a personal space. Like, I mean, the common space between everybody. And if we do, for example, we clean each weekend, like I'll clean, she cleans. And if one person doesn't clean on their weekend, like we have to pay up $50.
Ooh, smart.
Yeah. So that's a boundary that we've set and we follow through with it. Even if it's fucking hard for you, you have to follow through with your boundaries.
The follow through, I think, is hard because like when you're in a relationship and you're living together, it's like, how do you really set consequences? Like, what do you even do? You're just like mad. I'm just, now I'm pissed. So what's the physical thing that I do to actually like create the boundary or to
what is the give consequence?
Like, what do you even do?
I think, so like you have to talk about specific examples.
Yeah.
Like what's the problem? What's the boundary?
So like maybe there's some, let's just make something up. So like say a girl is dealing with a guy who's being too flirtatious with someone at work or something. And like every time you go bring him lunch at work, you're like, why is this fucking bitch? Like, you know, like why are you not doing something to set the boundary with her? Like, I feel disrespected when you're around her. Like, what's the deal with that? But then you go home and you live together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you even set a boundary with him or give consequences to him? Or like,
I thank God have never been in that situation, but I think
anything that a man's doing,
if I was to be in that situation, I would be like, you literally have to either like talk to her, make sure she's respecting you, because I am not gonna go do that, you know. Yeah. Like, it is your job as my partner who knows her and knows me to either send her an email, send her a text, speak to her in front of me, or whatever the case may be. Like, hey, you're crossing a boundary because you brought me lunch 5 times a week or whatever, and I don't want you to do that anymore because my wife will take care of that, you know. But I thought of something else when you were saying that. So for example, if your husband, boyfriend, whatever, whoever you live with, is always leaving his things around, right? Like, that's probably a common one. Like, mm-hmm. as women, we're always expected to clean after people. When my boyfriend comes over, he knows how like clean I like my things. So if he leaves something, I will not pick it up, even if it kills me. Like, even if I see it and I'm like, oh my God, like that is my one, like this is my bedroom, we don't even live together, so respect my space. When he comes home, I'm like, hey, can you pick up your things? And he's like, oh shoot, like I totally forgot, okay, thank you, like next time. And he's really good at respecting me because he loves me. I think if you set a boundary and you express to them how annoying it is or how painful it is or whatever the case may be, and they're still doing it, like that's not a matter of a boundary, that's a matter
of, it's gonna turn into a main dish.
Yeah, realize yeah. that person is not respecting you.
And once it's a main dish, then what's your option?
You leave.
You always have to be willing to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I think ultimately what you, it harkens back to what you said in the beginning, was that like you have to know that you're going to be okay and that you're going to be fine and you can walk away and you can find someone I know,
you have
Gina,
to put the foot out the window.
So
or
in
the
your
door.
And in your case too, it's like it was multiple boundaries though. So that's the only reason that I'm like more on the side of, you know, this way, or at least like there's got to be more consequences or whatever. But it's hard when you're going through it.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, like because it's not the things being left out that you're breaking up
for. It's
the respect. And yeah. And Steve was doing stuff like this in the first year, and he didn't get, because I would respond like with anger, because I was like, why do you keep doing this? Like I asked you a million times not to do this, and he would just put on anger.
He thinks it's
back.
Nagging.
Yeah,
they
it's
don't
like,
see why.
And then when I finally broke down and cried one time, because I was just like, you don't fucking respect me. Like, these are my things. And when you do this constantly over and over, even though you know that it hurts my feelings, like, you are basically saying I don't give a shit about you.
Yeah.
And so it's not okay for me. Like, and we're not breaking up over this situate this for me. It was a pan that he kept fucking cutting his knives into
the
nonstick pans and ruining all my pans. It's that you don't have the consciousness to like,
it's a
go
respect.
Yeah, she's gonna
my fucking pan.
Yeah, and he didn't get that it hurt me.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, she's nagging me. But then once he realized like what he was doing was hurting me and it was causing resentment, because I use that word too, I was like, I'm building resentment against you, and soon enough there's gonna be a wall. Like, I'm just gonna be so emotionally detached from you that it's not even gonna work anymore. And once he heard that, he was like, oh shit, it's a respect thing. It's not about the pans. He was thinking it was about the pans. Like, what? It's just a $10 pan. What?
He's probably like, why does she care so much about a pan?
Yes, that is what it was. And then once he realized that, it is when the behavior changed. And then it was like, it never went back again. Like, he never went and cut in my pans again. And anytime anything similar has happened like that, he knows immediately, oh, it's a respect thing, not of this $10 item thing.
And he loves you, so he respects your boundaries.
Yes,
and
but if he
does
the bottom
it, yeah.
If he was like, it hurts you and I'm going to continue to cut in these pans, I would have to walk away.
That's absolute disrespect.
Yeah.
Well, one final thing before we go. There was this little short list of like five things that I found online. It says like moving forward from codependency. The first one is stop thinking a relationship is the key to your happiness. I think I've spent a lot of my life feeling that way. Like, oh, once I get the relationship, then I'll be happy. But it's actually like that's just one piece of your life. There's still this whole other part of your life. Like, don't ignore the whole rest of your life. And I think I was guilty of doing that for a while.
Make you happier, not happy.
Yeah. So if you have nothing but waiting for that relationship, you should not be in a relationship because you need all of the other stuff first.
You should be fulfilled on your own, and they just.
And I kept hearing that. I keep hearing that. And I'm like, one ear and out the other, because I don't want to fucking do all that work. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm doing now. Also, number two, stop thinking emotional intimacy is only possible in a romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. So like you have to be able to find another outlet, friends or something where you can actually be emotionally intimate, get your emotional intimacy needs met, even if it's friends or family or something. It's not just your partner's the only person that you can really open up to. You have to be able to let other people do that as well. Stop refusing to spend time alone. If you don't know who you are when you're alone for a long period of time, you're constantly influenced by others and you don't really know who you are. So then how can you pick a partner that's good for you? It's not possible.
How can you set boundaries if you don't know who you are?
And then stop putting everything else on hold when you get into a relationship. We kind of covered that. But this one, stop selling yourself short. And then the author said, love is not a charity case. And that kind of hit me. It was like, love is not a charity case. So it's like, you shouldn't be accepting love from a man who's kind of just like throwing you fucking breadcrumbs. Mm. Like, you're not a charity case. You're not lucky that they're fucking putting up with you enough to stay around. And I'm just like, as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, fuck.
Or like, lucky that they're doing bare minimum.
Yeah. Like, why am I lucky that he's barely showing up?
Bitch. Yeah. Have you seen you? Have you gotten to know you? Know, have you ever realized how wonderful you are?
No.
Homework for next time I come over.
Yes,
you better know your damn worth.
I know.
And you out there,
yes,
spend some
too.
Damn time alone with yourself, loving yourself. I actually, when I lived alone, I hugged myself a lot because I realized I needed more.
I love that.
Hugs.
That's one thing I do miss. I'm like, I just want a man's arms to hold me. That's really all
get
I kind of want.
A body
wanted.
Pillow.
No, I want a man's arms to hold me. That's all I want.
A bath feels like a hug sometimes.
I take baths every fucking day, sometimes three times a day because I just need the warmth and comfort.
Anyway, bye.
This is the saddest but cutest thing. It almost made me cry. I'm like, oh my god, are you okay? Jesus Christ. I just imagine her sitting in the corner just
that is. Well, actually in an empty bathtub.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Fill it up at least.
Why is that making me tear up?
Then I did eventually.
Yeah. All right, thanks guys for watching. Rate us 5 stars, please. I need
we
those
need
5
them. We're
stars
dependent on, it.
On iTunes. Leave a like, leave a comment. Go to our Instagram at Big Mood Girls.
Yes.
That's where we're going to also be posting questions for our Q&A episodes. So follow that, watch that, give
Get
us some questions.
In.
Make sure you follow Stacy too.
Yes.
She's cool. Her links are in the
Stacy
description
Diaz
box.
Apodaca?
Yes.
Did I say that right? Okay.
Yes,
you
girl.
Go
perfect.
Follow her.
Yeah. Fine.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
She makes jewelry. She gives
advice. Oh, yeah. This girl's a bad bitch. Dope. You're not following her. What
Period.
Are you doing?
One of my favorite things she's ever said
doing?
Was respect the stallion because she's a stallion.
Oh, shit.
Dude, that was my favorite tweet from her because somebody said, like, oh, women over blah, 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 weight is mama. And she posted a picture of herself. She's like, I'm over blah blah blah, respect the stallion. I was like, oh, period.
Yes, girl.
I fell in love. That.
Am I a stallion?
No, Nikki, no. You're not a stallion.
You have to be about 5'9".
Your ponies
are cute too.
Respect the dwarf pony.